Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you today. Let's see. I've got something in here I want to ask some questions about. You think this would open the door of the church?
No.
Why not?
They're your car keys.
Okay, that's a car key. Okay. What about this one? Do you think this would open the church key door?
Maybe.
Maybe a house key, huh?
I don't know. What
my
house
is.
We have a black door.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right the first time. This opens the front door, the back door, the side door, and the kitchen door at my house.
Opens your doors?
All the doors, that one key, yeah. Oh, there's some more keys in here somewhere. What do you think about these keys? What kind of things would they open? Will one of those work in a car?
Church. These are the church keys?
Those are the church keys, yeah.
Wow.
I wonder how you would know that.
Because we already have done your house key. Yeah. Your car key, so they've got to do
Okay, that's the north and south church key. That's the door straight back there. And this one is the office. We have keys to open doors, don't we? Mm-hmm. Have you ever opened?
Just fixed his nose.
Oh, she fixed the nose, yeah. Have you ever used a key to open a door?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know there are other kinds of doors that we open that we can't use a key like this on. I was thinking about what happens on Sunday morning if some family walked in and they had children about your size and you'd never seen any of them before? Do you think the children would feel kind of lonely?
Mm-hmm.
What if one of you walked over and told them your name and said, "You want to come to Sunday school with me?" Do you think that'd be kind of opening a door and bringing them in and making them feel welcome?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, that's something we all need to learn, not just children. Big folk, too. Especially big folk. They're rougher than kids. You kids are always nicer, aren't you? Yeah. And you make friends and you have fun. And you know, God does things in strange ways at times.
Mm-hmm.
You never can tell. That child that walked in the door might end up being your best friend for your whole life.
You don't know it yet.
You don't know it yet. And just think, if you aren't friendly, it may never happen and you lost your best friend forever. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Yeah, we need to open those doors and be friendly to other people and see what happens and see what God has planned for us. Because you never know. That's what I want to remember. We need to open the doors and help other people. And it's not just with a key. It's being friendly. Here at school, when you're in school, if there's a new kid there, you need to be friendly with them. Help make them feel welcome. Will you pray with me now? An echo prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Help all of us.
Help all of us.
To be friendly.
To be friendly.
And open doors.
Open doors.
For other children and adults. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you for helping us.
Amen.
This morning is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. And it's about Jesus choosing Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me." Philip then found Nathanael and said, "We have found the one that Moses and the prophets write about. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is a true descendant of our ancestor Israel, and he isn't deceitful." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Did you believe me just because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see something even greater. I tell you for certain that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man." So ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I think this is the first Sunday I've heard the train when I was ready to start the sermon. My brother's first church was Mazan, Illinois, and the train tracks were a block from the church, and they went through about every 25 minutes. And he tried to time the offering when the train came through. You know, life is hard. It really is. Perhaps you've heard the true story about the fellow who was taking care of an errand in another town. When it was time to head home, he discovered that his car wouldn't start because it was out of gas. A passerby told him there was a service station a half mile away. And so he took a gas can from the trunk and trudged the distance in the cold blizzard conditions. At the service station, he got his gas, walked back in the blizzard to his car, filled the gas tank, and he couldn't get in the door. And then he noticed an identical car just a little ways away. And he'd put the gas in the wrong car. And so he walked back to the gas station in the blizzard. And the attendant at the service station said, "You know, instead of walking back and forth in this blizzard to fill the tank from the can, you could just put a couple of gallons in the car and drive to the station to get the rest of your gas." People can be so helpful, can't they? We joke about it, but life is hard. Sometimes it drives all of us to our knees. Pastor Ed Dobson has led one of the largest churches in the U.S., Back in the year 2000, this pastor of a growing active ministry was diagnosed with ALS, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a degenerative, fatal disease, and there's no cure. Pastor Dobson says he was never angry over his diagnosis. He takes his cue from one of the women, the young women in his church. She was widowed twice at a young age. And the woman stated at her second husband's funeral, "I have chosen not to ask why. I don't want to waste time I have on questions that I don't think I'll get answered." That widow showed a lot of spiritual maturity. This is a hard world, and we don't know why. Someday we will understand. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, or 13, verse 12, "Now we see but poorly, as in a bad mirror." Remember back then, the mirrors were pounded metal. But then we shall see face to face. Right now it's a mystery. I guess people expect their pastor to tell them why pain and suffering come to our lives, but I don't know the answer. I know a number of theories, but neither do I know why some people find healing for their sufferings and others do not. A number of years ago, a young woman suffering from cancer wrote letters to Television 700 Club. As some of you know, this is an upbeat show that focuses on people who have experienced God's blessings. One of this young woman's letters changed co-host Sheila Wells' outlook on the question of suffering. The young woman complained that the 700 Club always showcased people who were healed, marriages that were restored, happy stories, and miracles. But she said, that's not always realistic. What about people like me, the young woman wrote, people who are dying but still love God? Wow. What about people like that? There are more than you may imagine. I don't understand why some people experience devastating misfortune, but I can tell you this. The people in this world I most admire are the people who learn to play hurt. Now that's a sports term, of course. Athletes know about pain and injury. It's part of the business. Many of them deal courageously with their misfortunes by playing through them. They could use their injuries to slough off and take it easy. But somehow these champions refuse to do so. They suck it up in sports talk and give their best in spite of their misfortune. In his book titled Think Yourself to the Riches of Life, Robert Conklin gave examples of athletes playing hurt. He tells a quarterback named Gary Quazel, who at that time was with the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit Lions were leading, but the Vikings were moving toward the goal line, a drive that would put them ahead. But Gary Quazel came back to the huddle, just sort of his left arm hanging. You're hurt. We'll take you out of the game, said the fullback. No, leave me in, said Gary. We've got a drive going. And he stayed in the game with a broken shoulder until the team crossed the goal line. And then he left. The reason that stories like this one are important to us is that there are saints of God who play hurt every day of their lives. They could shake their fist at God. They could grow bitter and take out their misfortune on others around them, their family and friends. But they hang in there and they trust God. And even when they do not feel God's presence, in their struggle, they are blessed with strength that they did not know they had. God does not lead his children around the misfortune and the hardship, but leads them straight through it. But he leads, and amidst the hardship, he is nearer to them than ever before. These people who persist, despite heavy burdens, are champions, heroes. And the sad thing is that we never recognize them. Yes, life is hard. It's especially hard for some people. Let's face it, we do not all start life equally. We are born gifted or not so gifted. We may have healthy genes or not the healthiest of genes. We may start off in Alpha or in a hillbilly village called Nazareth. You could almost hear the sarcasm in our scripture for today. A man named Philip has just encountered Christ and been won over to him. And he in turn reaches out to a friend, Nathanael, and tells him, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth?" Nathanael answers. "Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," says Philip. Here is today's upbeat word for a downbeat world. It doesn't matter where you start out. It doesn't matter what obstacles you have to overcome. You can be a champion, a winner, a hero, by trusting God with your pain and never giving up. A man named Krauss wrote a book titled, "Why Me? Coping with Grief, Loss, and Change," in which he describes the torment of his youth. As a boy, he was forced to have the lower half of his right leg amputated. This was harder on his soul than on his body. He felt somehow incomplete. Like any young man, he desperately wanted to fit in. And so he pushed himself to achieve, wearing a prosthesis. He participated in sports, in gymnastics. He gave it everything he had. He refused any pity. Through sheer determination, Krauss made the gymnastics team at his school. And in his sophomore year, he received the letter. Later, he remembered the first day he wore his letter sweater to school. The kids stopped their chatter and turned to stare at him, and a hush came over the room. And then an amazing thing happened. In unison, his classmates stood and clapped their hands as they cheered him. Krauss writes, "I'm not ashamed to tell you that on that day, standing there in front of my classmates, the tears I cried were the sweetest tears of my life. For the first time, I had a glimmer that I could be a whole person, even if part of me is missing. I have a feeling that many of the saints of God are going to receive that kind of a reception when they enter the gates of heaven. Their wounds won't show. The missing limbs will be restored. The threadbare clothes will have been exchanged for glorious spiritual garments. The heavy hearts will be overflowing with joy. These are Christ's champions, heaven's heroes, people who have triumphed over a multitude of disadvantages, handicaps, and heartaches, and have never given in or given up. Will we be counted among them? I hope you never have to endure unimaginable suffering. But even if you do, there is hope on the other side. For the God who has invaded our world and invaded our lives at our baptism will never, ever forsake us. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are always here with us. Even when we ignore you, even when we look over you, even when we act as if you did not ever exist, you're still here. Thank you. Thank you for never forsaking us. Amen. I don't know if you know the response that we're going to sing, but I was asked if she would play it through once before we do that. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.